Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. And let's begin again in the 2020 battleground state of New Hampshire. That's where California Senator Kamala Harris, one of about two dozen Democrats running for president, is on the campaign trail today. She spoke to roughly 300 people at a town hall-style event in Nashua, and she covered a range of issues, including gun control, climate change, health care, and the recent vote by Alabama lawmakers to ban almost all abortions in that state.
Let us all agree that women's health care is under attack, and we will not stand for it. We will not stand for it.
WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks was with Harris in Nashua this morning, and he joins me now in studio. Hey there, Anthony.
Hey, Callum.
I think you're eligible for dual citizenship in the Granite State at this point. So set the scene for us. You were just up there earlier this week with Joe Biden. What was today's event like?
Yeah, a lot of enthusiasm, about 300 people on a weekday morning. And when you see these big crowds at these events, Callum, I think it's an indication of just how hungry Democrats in particular are for change and how much excitement there is in the Democratic field right now. So there was Kamala Harris, senator from California, former attorney general. She hasn't been to New Hampshire as much as some of the other candidates, but when she comes, she draws a big crowd and a lot of enthusiasm, and we saw that today.
And what were some of the key policy points that she was talking about today?
So I think it's fair to say that Kamala Harris is one of the progressives in this race. She shares a lot of the same goals as a bunch of candidates, including Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Bernie Sanders of Vermont. She's in favor of the Green New Deal. She says Medicare for all is something that she supports. She wants to roll back the Republican tax cut to fund domestic programs, including what she calls the first federal investment to close the teacher pay gap. And as she described this, it would give an average of $13,500 a year to raise teacher pay. So she's definitely on the progressive side of this group of candidates. And by the way, she's consistently running pretty high in the polls in the top five. And there was a lot of excitement there this morning.
And she seems to be trying to get to the front of the pack when it comes to gun control in particular. She and some of her rivals in the Democratic primary are co-sponsors on a proposed assault weapons ban in the Senate. And then, Anthony, I understand today she sort of ratcheted up that proposal with saying that she would issue an executive order to ban imports of AR-15 style weapons if she were president. What was behind that?
Yeah, so she talked a lot about guns and the need for gun controls, specifically on assault weapons. She's in favor of universal background checks as well. And this was the point at which she received sort of the first of several standing ovations when she talked about this issue. She said the ideas for gun control are there. She said the need has been demonstrated again and again and again. So the problem isn't one of a lack of ideas or a lack of national emergency, but it's that Congress lacks the courage to act. So she said if she's elected president, she'll give Congress 100 days to come up with sensible gun control. Otherwise, she'll act on her own.
Let's look at the fact that there are 4 million assault weapons in the United States, which were imported here from foreign countries. So I am also prepared, and I'm announcing it for the first time today here with you, to take executive action to ban the import of assault weapons into our country.
So, Callum, interesting to consider that whether or not that ban, how effective that ban would be a question, given that a lot of assault weapons are made right here in America.
And right here in Massachusetts in some cases, right? We've got Smith & Wesson right in Springfield.
Absolutely right.
Anthony, you mentioned earlier that Harris hasn't been to New Hampshire as frequently as some other candidates. So this was her 12th visit to New Hampshire, but we've seen Elizabeth Warren go there more than twice as many times. Kirsten Gillibrand has been there 31 times, 30 times for Cory Booker. Is she campaigning seriously in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I think she is. And her campaign is pushing back against this idea that she's not working hard in New Hampshire. She's attended several times, and in all, there's about 12 events. There haven't been actually 12 separate visits, but 12 discrete events. But the campaign says Look, she's going to take New Hampshire seriously. At the same time, they know that winning New Hampshire isn't as essential for her as some other candidates. For example, arguably for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, who, you know, Sanders won it the last time and he's a neighbor of New Hampshire. This is a state that is considered much more pivotal to campaigns like that. Kamala Harris has this advantage of right after New Hampshire comes South Carolina, where she's been investing a lot of time. She has a good chance of attracting a lot of African-American support in the South. So that's a strength for her. And then shortly after that comes Super Tuesday, when her own state of California votes. So I think there's a view. I mean, as one campaign official said to me today, hey, look, the map is the map. We care about New Hampshire, but the map is the map. And Kamala Harris has the advantage of sort of placing well enough in New Hampshire and then letting the rest of the calendar or the next stage of the calendar, which is more advantageous to her, to sort of carry her to the next stage. That's the thinking anyway.
Yeah, and of course, her home state of California is earlier in this primary cycle than it has been in the past, too.
Absolutely,
which could help. Anthony, you've been to a bunch of these events in New Hampshire already, even though it's early in the cycle. So help us gauge the enthusiasm for Kamala Harris, because I know that something you've observed and others have remarked on, too, is that some people show up to these events not necessarily as complete supporters. They may just be sort of, you know, feeling a candidate out to see if they want to jump on.
Yeah. And I think that was the case today. I talked to a bunch of voters. I think there was a lot of genuine enthusiasm for the issues she was talking about. But just about everyone I spoke to also said, look, it's early. The primary is 9 months away. We're still looking and it's still very early. So here's Marcus Scott. He's an attorney. He lives in Nashua. And interestingly, he grew up in the same part of Oakland in which Harris grew up. So that was a bit of a kind of homecoming coincidence for her when he posed this question to her.
How do you beat Donald Trump?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Callum, that's the question you hear again and again for voters on the campaign trail. Often
sure.
They like what they hear from these candidates, but that's the question they most want an answer to. And that's the issue they care most about, beating Donald Trump. So here's how Harris, the former prosecutor, answered his question.
I believe we're going to need to have somebody on that stage who has a proven ability to successfully prosecute the case against this administration's policies.
Intentional verb choice there, I take it. Prosecute the case against President Trump. Last thing I want to ask you about, Anthony, though, is I understand that after Harris was on the stage in the scrum, she was asked about possibly being a running mate for Joe Biden. How did she answer that? Because she's running for the top job at this point.
Well, exactly. So this week, Politico has been quoting several members of the Congressional Black Caucus who are warming to the idea of a Biden-Harris ticket. One black lawmaker said, that would be a dream ticket for me, a dream ticket. But look, Kamala Harris, she's consistently among the top five candidates. She's raising a lot of money. There's a lot of excitement at her events. So 9 months before anyone has even cast a vote, it seems sort of strange for her to be asked these questions, even a little bit demeaning to her campaign. But she sort of made fun of this today when a reporter asked her about this idea of running with Joe Biden. Here's what she said.
Sure, if people want to speculate about running mates, I encourage that because I think that Joe Biden would be a great running mate. As vice president, he's proven that he knows how to do the job. And there are certainly a lot of other candidates that would make for me a very viable and interesting vice president.
Right. So she was having none of it. None of it. If you're going to talk about a running mate, let Joe Biden be her running mate.
Yeah, clever way of turning it around, much like Ronald Reagan once turned around a question about his age. That's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Thanks as usual for your time.
My pleasure, Cal.